Hello, I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. I welcome you to the third day, December 27th, in the 12 days of Christmas. The key word for today is peace. On the Anglican Church calendar, December 27th is the feast day of St. John the Apostle, Evangelist, and Theologian. The opening musical theme was a French horn solo based upon Joseph Moore's World War I-era carol, Silent Night. Sadly, even within the church, the word peace is one of the most abused words in the New Testament. Here at the Anglican Internet Church, consistent with our teaching on Christian spirituality, we believe the word peace, especially as it is used in Luke 2:14 and John 20, verses 21 and 26, has a spiritual and not a literal meaning. It is not in the popular language of music, St. John Lennon's famous lyric, peace, as in give peace a chance. When the chorus of angels sang the Gloria in Excelsis in Luke 2:14, they mean God's peace has been brought to men on earth. Without God's peace in the heart, there can be no true peace between men. God's peace is the kind of peace which no self-labeled peace commission could ever give. How peace is used in liturgies varies. In Anglican practice, when a priest blesses the congregation, he closes saying, "Go in peace and serve the Lord," referring to that spiritual peace which comes from God. In Roman Catholic usage, the clergy says, "Peace be with you." And in the Eastern Orthodox form, the phrase is, "Peace to all." Nearly every New Testament usage of peace comes from the Greek irene, which is related to the Hebrew greeting shalom, but with a different meaning. In the AIC Bible study videos, especially Mark 4:35-41, the calming of the seas, and Mark 6:45-52, I point out that in many other Greek words commonly translated as peace, in the Western Bibles, especially the King James Version, such as phimoe in the first example and siapao in the second example, actually mean either to be quiet or to be still. Where in the Old Testament shalom meant the possibility of earthly comfort and prosperity or fatness in the King James Version, peace in the New Testament in nearly all cases refers to the restoration of the right relationship between God and mankind that is made possible only by the coming of Christ at the Nativity and by his propitiatory death on the cross, in which he offered himself as a form of ransom, paid in exchange for the forgiveness of the sins of mankind since Adam and Eve. When Jesus spoke to the apostles on Maundy Thursday near the end of his final address to them before going to the garden at Gethsemane, he said to them in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you." While he had not yet sacrificed himself upon the cross, he granted the apostles the kind of peace, not as the world gives, but the one which comes only from God. Again, as I noted earlier, the kind of true peace not affected by acts or the absence of acts or any earthly governmental entity, whether national or international, or charity, or politician, or political party, or peace commission could ever accomplish, even though they would like you to believe otherwise. Later in his post-resurrection appearance in the upper room described in John 16:33, he says to them, "These things I have spoken to you, that, quote, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Thus, peace in Scripture in nearly every case is a spiritual and not a secular term. It is nothing less than that inner peace that comes from the reconciliation of sinful man to his Creator, God, a reconciliation that is only possible owing to Jesus' propitiatory sacrifice on the cross. In the AIC bookstore publication, Christian Spirituality and Anglican Perspective, I wrote about the apostolic wisdom of four saints, one of whom was St. Paul. For more than a decade and a half, while the Roman Empire waged war against Christianity, St. Paul could write in Romans 1:7 and in other of his epistles to the church communities he planted around the rim of the Mediterranean, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Obviously, for St. Paul, peace, from the Greek irene, did not mean secular peace, but the inner peace, which is a gift of divine grace from God. The artwork is an unfinished icon of St. Paul by the great 15th century Russian Orthodox icon maker Andrei Rublev. St. Paul also described peace as one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, along with joy, love, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Here, like his contemporary St. John the Apostle, who was, quote, in the Spirit when he received the inspiration to write Revelation, St. Paul understood that it is only through the presence of the third person of the divine Trinity, that is, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts, can we enjoy God's peace. Another example of apostolic wisdom from St. Paul is his characterization of peace as a divine mystery, saying in Philippians 4:7, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." He means that the how it happens is beyond human understanding or reason. This implies that God may grant this peace to anyone out of his own divine and sovereign free will. The coming of peace on earth, which we celebrate during the Nativity season, is God's peace, Christ Jesus' peace. It comes to man as an inner spiritual peace that enables the Christian to survive whatever the world may bring and which cannot be taken away by any power of man or entity of government. In this season of Christmas, we proclaim to the world the good news of peace on earth, possible only because of the only begotten Son of the Father who was present on earth, incarnate among men as Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. Please join me for the fourth day of Christmas, December 28th, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, when the key word is compassion. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website and use its resources at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.